listening to the Boxcar 711 Old Time Radio Pod, where the oldies are still young.
Is this the priest's house?
Is it Father Gorman you're looking for?
Yeah, he's wanted.
Who wants him? What for?
Well, there's a woman that says she's dying. Benful Street, number 23. Mrs. Coppin sent me. This is a Catholic place, isn't it? The woman says the vicar won too.
It's a Catholic place, all right. I'll fetch him straight away. What's the name of the poor woman that says she's dying?
Davis. Mrs. Davis.
Delafontaine. You remember that?
Delafontaine, yes.
Sanford.
Sanford.
And Hesketh Dubois.
Hesketh Dubois.
It must be stopped. You will stop them.
I will do what is necessary, Mrs. Davis. You can trust me.
Such wickedness. Such terrible evil. The bearer of death. The pale horse.
We present Stephanie Cole, Jeremy Clyde, Mary Wimbush, Terence Alexander, Hilda Schroeder, and the BBC Radio Drama Company in Agatha Christie's The Pale Horse.
I've done your padre for you, Inspector.
And what's the verdict?
I've saved the technical business for the coroner, but sir, the priest was hit with a heavy cosh. Mm-hmm. The first blow probably killed him, but whoever it was made absolutely sure. It's quite a nasty business.
Who on earth would want to kill a poor parish priest? Yeah. Couldn't have had much money on him.
Was it robbery?
The pockets were turned out, the lining of his cassock ripped open. Corrigan, why batter his head in?
There's two possible answers. It could have been done by a vicious young thug who likes violence for violence's sake, and there are plenty of them about.
And the other answer?
Somebody had it in for Father Gorman. Is that likely?
Most unlikely. He was a popular man, well-loved in the district. No enemies, as far as one can tell, but there's one thing that is rather curious. Mm. There was something on him that the killer didn't get. It was in his shoe.
What the hell was it doing in his shoe?
He had holes in his pockets. Huh? His housekeeper, who's by way of being a bit of a slat, never kept his clothes mended. She said that now and again, Father Gorman would slip a paper or a letter down the inside of his shoe so that he could keep it safe.
And what was this paper?
I've got it here. It's a list of names.
Let me see. Ormerod, Parkinson, Short, Tuckerton, Harmonsworth, Corrigan. Well, I'm on the list anyhow. Sanford, Delafontaine, Hesketh Dubois.
You never met Father Gorman?
Never, no. There are dozens of Corrigans. Anyway, what's the list supposed to mean?
Well, Father Gorman had been to see a woman called Mrs. Davis. She was very ill and wanted to see a priest. He was with her for about half an hour. She died just before the ambulance arrived to take her to hospital.
Always the way.
The next we hear of Father Gorman is at Tony's place. It's the local greasy spoon. Father Gorman asked for a cup of coffee. Then he asked Tony if he could give him a piece of paper. This scrap of paper.
So what happened then?
When Tony brought the coffee, the priest was writing this list out. Mm. Shortly afterwards, he left, leaving his coffee practically untasted, for which I don't blame him.
Anybody else in the place?
Three young lads were sitting at one table. An elderly man came in and sat at another. He went away without ordering.
He followed Father Gorman.
Could be. Tony didn't notice when he went. Well, we're asking for anyone who saw Father Gorman between 7:45 and 8:15 to get in touch with us. Nobody's come forward yet, but it's early days.
Mm. So this list is the only thing you've got to go on?
I think it's important.
The dying woman told him something. Something she wanted to get off her conscience. And he wrote these names down before he forgot them.
Could have been blackmail.
There are not a sort of names. Mine included. And no addresses. Hesketh Dubois. There can't be many of them about. Pass the telephone directory, will you?
Here we are.
John Hesketh, plumber. Sir Isidore Hesketh. Here we are. Just the one. Hesketh Dubois. Lady. 49 Ellesmere Square, Southwest 1. What say we just ring her up?
Saying what?
Her inspiration will come.
Go ahead.
Grosvenor. 64578.
Of course, there's no way of knowing whether the list has anything to do with the murder at all.
It's ringing.
Could just have been a common or garden cushing. It was pretty foggy.
Hello. Is that Lady Hesketh Dubois' house? Could I speak to her, please? Oh, I see. I am sorry. So that's why you were so ready to let me ring up.
She died last April. We don't really neglect the obvious.
6 months ago. She didn't commit suicide or anything like that.
No, she died of a tumour on the brain.
And you knew all along. Even so, I'd like to do a little investigating on my own account, if you've no objection.
Because of the name Corrigan?
Something like that. So, where do we go from here?
Think of the person on whom suspicion is least likely to fall. Do you know who said that?
Sherlock Holmes?
Wilkie Collins. Oh. Up to now, it's always worked like a dream with me. It never fails, but this time, Mark, I'm really cornered. I just can't think of how anyone gets away with murder in real life.
Nonsense. You've been doing it for years.
Not in real life, Mark. Murder part's quite easy. It's the covering up that's so difficult. Tell me, Mark, do you think it's possible to kill someone by remote control?
Surely you're not going to have someone killed with a death ray, Ariadne. That sort of thing went out in the 20s.
No. I mean black magic.
Wax figures with pins in them?
Oh, goodness, no. I did that in The Reign of Mystery. But queer things do happen in Africa, the West Indies. People just curl up and die. Voodoo or juju, you know what I mean.
You mean your new story is about death by voodoo?
It's just a passing thought. The moment, it's a good old-fashioned blunt instrument. But how could he have failed to notice it? I've been trying for days. I cannot see a way round it.
You don't have to tear your hair out.
Nonsense, hair's tough. Though when I had measles at 14 with a very high temperature, it did come out all round the front. And it was 6 whole months before it grew properly again. Awful for a girl. Thought of it yesterday when I was visiting Mary de la Fontaine. Her hair was coming out just like mine did.
I saw a girl pull another girl's hair out by the roots not long ago.
You must go to some funny places.
It was a coffee bar in Chelsea.
What on earth drove you to a place like that?
Desperation. I was trying to write an article on Mughal architecture.
That doesn't seem much of an excuse.
Anyway, the girl didn't seem to notice. Great tufts of red hair torn out of her scalp and she didn't bat an eyelid.
Who on earth was this girl?
Tommy Tucker, they called her.
What?
A Thomasina Tuckerton. An heiress with a taste for lowlife. She'd stolen the other girl's boyfriend. And do you know, a week later I read in the Times that she was dead. I mean, there wouldn't be another girl with a name like that.
I'm sure there couldn't. You didn't come here to talk about girls having their hair torn out.
Frankly, no. The fact is that my cousin, Rhoda Despard, is organising a church fete at Much Deeping.
And she wondered if you could persuade your famous friend, Ariadne Oliver, to open it.
Oh, no, you wouldn't have to open it. All you'd have to do would be to sit in a tent and sign your books.
Would I have to wear a hat?
Well, I'm sure it's all totally informal, and it would only be for an hour or two. And after that, there'll be a cricket match and a fancy dress competition.
That's it, of course. There's a cricket match. Oh, what a good thing you came round, Mark.
Well, I don't quite see what the...
That's why he doesn't notice Greenwood. It's been lovely to see you, Mark, but what I've got to do now is work this out.
Well, that's all right. I've got to get to the theatre anyway. But about this fate...
No, I'll think about it. Now, where on earth did I put my glasses?
I don't see what more I can tell you, Inspector. I told it all before to your sergeant. I don't know who Mrs. Davis was or where she came from.
She had a job, presumably.
Oh, yes, if you can call it a job. She worked for one of those customer research organisations.
She didn't mention where she came from, what part of the country.
I don't think she was a Londoner. Came from somewhere up north, I'd say.
And there's nothing you can tell me about her? Nothing unusual?
Not really. Though, when she got ill, well, she seemed to be worrying about something. Mm. I got the impression it might have been to do with that firm she was working for.
Possibly. Did she say anything else?
She went down with a high fever, could hardly climb the stairs. I must have a priest, she says, and quickly, or it'll be too late. So I sent Mike for Father Gorman. And while we were waiting, she kept muttering about wickedness.
Wickedness?
Mm, and something about a horse. Horse racing, it might have been. It's got to be stopped. That's what she said.
Hmm. Wickedness. I'm only halfway to paradise.
So near, yet so far. Mark!
Good Lord, Mark Easterbrook.
David Harding, yes, I live and breathe. How wonderful to see you.
There's a table for you just here, if you can bear to sit next to us, that is.
Oh, we'd love to. It's not reserved or anything.
No, madame. Let me take your coat.
Oh, thank you.
This is my particular pet, Poppy.
Hello.
Meet Mark and Hermia.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Poppy.
Mark and Hermia are very serious and highbrow, and you must try and live up to them. I bet you two have just come from a really boring play.
A Macbeth, actually, at the Old Vic, and it wasn't the least boring.
And what did they do with the witches this time?
Oh, they were awful.
I thought they were very funny, actually.
They always come on with all that smoke and thunder and lightning. If I were doing Macbeth, I'd make them very ordinary. Just sly, quiet old women. Like the witches in a country village.
But there aren't any witches nowadays, are there?
Well, you say that because you're a London girl. There's still a witch in every village in rural England.
Oh, I don't like the country.
Macbeth turned up as the third murderer. Is that usual?
Oh, it's been done before. But then, what hasn't?
It simply shows that Macbeth couldn't trust anybody, not even hired murderers.
How convenient it must have been in the good old days to be able to call in a handy murderer whenever you wanted a little job done.
But it is done. What are they called? Contract killings?
Oh, I don't mean big-time gangsters. I mean ordinary everyday folk who want to get rid of someone. A business rival, Aunt Evelyn, so rich and so unfortunately long-lived. And how convenient if you could ring up Harrods and say, oh, please send along two good murderers, will you?
But one can do that in a way, can't one?
What way, Poppy?
Well, I mean, people can do that if they want to. People like us, you said. Only I believe it's very expensive.
What on earth are you talking about?
Well, that thing they call the pale horse, that sort of thing.
The pale horse? What kind of pale horse?
Oh, I expect I've got it wrong. It was just something somebody mentioned.
I think what you need, my girl, is another glass of wine. And it's time we all had some food. Waiter! Waiter!
Oh, good morning, Inspector Lejeune.
Good morning.
Won't you come through?
Thank you.
Doreen will look after the shop, won't you, Doreen?
Yes, Mr. Osborne.
This way, Inspector. We can talk quite privately in here. I'll just draw the curtain across.
Very nice little business you've got here, Mr. Osborne. Love all those coloured bottles and pretty jars.
Good old-fashioned family chemists. My grandfather was here and my father before me. Mind you, I didn't see it that way when I was young. I wanted to go on the stage.
Mm.
A year and a half in provincial rep soon cured me of that. Mm. But I'm selling the business now. I'm getting a good price for it, and I've made a down payment on a nice little bungalow near Bournemouth. Retire while you can still enjoy life. That's my motto.
You said you had some information that you thought might interest us, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, that's right. I think I may have seen your murderer.
Really?
It wasn't a busy evening. We keep open until 8 on Thursdays, and my young lady was behind the counter. I'd gone to the door to look at the weather, thinking to myself that the fog was coming down very fast. And I saw Father Gorman coming along on the other side of the street.
Oh, you knew him?
Oh, he'd called in a few times. Mm. Anyway, he was going in the direction of West Street. A little way behind him, there was another man. It wouldn't have entered my head to notice him, but quite suddenly this second man came to a halt, just when he was level with my door. I wondered why he'd stopped. And then I noticed that Father Gorman, a little way ahead, had slowed down, almost to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
Then he started on again, and the second man started to move also.
Well, as if he was following him.
Well, that's what I'm sure he was doing now. Not that I thought anything about it at the time. What with the fog coming down, I lost sight of both of them almost at once.
Well, can you describe this man at all?
Oh, well, yes, I think so. He was a tall man.
How tall?
Oh, nearly 6 feet, I'd say. Though he might have seemed taller than he was, because he was very thin. Sloping shoulders he had, and a definite Adam's apple. Grew his hair rather long under his Homburg. A great beak of a nose. Very noticeable. Age about 55. I'm going by his walk.
A very detailed description, Mr. Osborne. Do you think you'd recognise this man if you saw him again?
Oh, yes, Inspector. I would recognise him. I never forget a face.
Flaxman 73841.
I've thought about it and I'll come.
Thought about it?
Signing books at your cousin's fete in Much Deeping. I'll come if she still wants me to.
Well, that's frightfully nice of you, Ariadne. Well, they'll put you up, of course. Rhoda's married to a chap called Guy Despard, Colonel Despard, actually. You'll find them very hospitable.
Of course, I shall have to cope with all those people who say how much they like my books. Perhaps we could lose them all and sneak off and have a drink in the Pale Horse.
The Pale Horse?
Well, isn't that the name of the pub in Much Deeping? Or is it the Pink Horse? Or perhaps it's somewhere else. I may have just imagined it. Anyway, I'll see you there.
Oh. Flaxman 73841.
Mr. Easterbrook.
That's right.
My name is Soames White, solicitors. I'm ringing you about the estate of your late godmother, Lady Hesketh Dubois. Under the terms of her will, you are entitled to choose 3 of her pictures.
Oh, that was very thoughtful of her.
There is nothing valuable, of course.
I seem to remember some very charming watercolours of Indian scenes.
Quite so. Probate has now been granted, and the executors are arranging for the sale of her London house. If you could go round to Ellesmere Square in the near future...
Oh, I'll go now.
Oh, good morning. I was wondering if you could...
I don't live here. I was just leaving. You'll need to see the caretaker.
Don't I know you? Aren't you Jim Corrigan? Mark Easterbrook. Well, it must be 15 years. You were at Bangor.
And you were at...
Wadham. Yes. What are you doing here?
I'm collecting some watercolours left to me by my godmother.
Your godmother?
Lady Hesketh Dubois.
She was your godmother?
Yes. Well, what's so unusual about that?
You know, nothing. Nothing. Except that I called round here hoping to find out something about her. I suppose you don't have time for a spot of lunch. There's a little place just off Lowndes Square.
And my godmother was on this list?
Yes. And it was such an unusual name, I thought it would be pretty easy to track down.
But what did you hope to find out?
I'm not quite sure. I wanted to follow up the idea that she might have been blackmailed.
Blackmailed? Good Lord, I shouldn't think that's very likely. Who else is on this list of yours?
Got a copy of it here. Yeah.
Parkinson. I know 2 Parkinsons, and there was a Sanford who used to be rector of our church when I was a boy. Tuckerton. That's odd. Not Thomasina Tuckerton, I suppose.
It could be, for all I know. Who is she? What does she do?
Nothing now. Well, 1 week she was having her hair torn out in a coffee bar, and the next I noticed her death in the Times.
Good.
De La Fontaine. I've heard that name lately, but I can't remember where. Oh, Corrigan. Is that why you're taking such an interest? Do you think it might be you?
I devoutly hope not. I have a feeling that it's unlucky to have your name on that list.
Why do you think it's got something to do with blackmail?
It was Inspector Lejeune's idea. It seemed the most likely possibility, but there are plenty of others.
But I thought you were a pathologist.
I am.
Well, do you always take such an interest in the police side of your work?
No, I don't. But seeing my own name on the list made me want to find out what it was all about. One Corrigan to the rescue of another Corrigan. And Inspector Lejeune's got quite a lot on his plate at the moment, so he's got nothing against me ferreting about.
Well, I don't think I can give you a useful lead about Lady Hesketh Dubois. She led far too blameless a life to have been blackmailed.
Hmm. Any other Hesketh Duboises that you know about?
No, she didn't have any children. Her husband died some time ago. She got a nephew and niece, I think, but not of that name. Mm. I can't think of any reason for her to be on your list.
If someone killed that priest to get their hands on the list, the reason must have been pretty important.
Oh, I
I do love fireworks. They make me feel like a child again. Such a wonderful way to round off the day.
Yeah. Did you have a successful signing session, or whatever you call it?
63 books at 5 bob a time, Colonel. I suppose it wasn't too bad. But people do ask such funny questions. One man wanted to know whether I had ever tried out poisons on myself.
Can I top you up, Mrs. Oliver?
Oh, thank you.
How about you, Mr. Easterbrook?
Oh, thank you very much.
Everyone calls me Ginger.
Ah, thank you, Ginger.
I think Mrs. Horsfall cheated over the bottle of champagne. Her nephew got it.
Lady Brookbank looked pretty embarrassed when she won that pig. Still, all in all, we didn't come out of it too badly.
Better than last year, Rhoda.
Well, that wouldn't have been very difficult. We got rained off last year.
Oh. Yes, Damp's quib was particularly appropriate.
Didn't you burn your hand or something, Vicar?
A Roman candle. I was so determined to get the thing to light. That's why I'm keeping my distance this year.
I thought the King's Arms was particularly generous. 5 bottles of whiskey and 5 of gin. Pretty sporting of them.
The King's Arms? I thought you said the pub was called the Pale Horse, Ariadne.
Well, I did say I might have imagined it.
Oh, no, you didn't imagine it, Mrs. Oliver. There used to be a pub called the Pale Horse, but it's just an ordinary house now.
Oh, I wouldn't call it ordinary. Mostly 16th century. But I do think they should have changed the name.
Oh, no, it would have been awfully silly to call it Wayside or Fairview. I think it's much better to call it the Pale Horse. And there's the lovely old sign still. They've got it framed in the hall.
Who's there?
It belongs to Thurza Gray. You may have seen her today. Tall, rather mannish-looking, close-cropped hair.
She's very much into the occult. Goes in for spiritualism and trances and magic. Not quite black masses, but that sort of thing.
I don't quite see Miss Grey as Madame de Montespan lying naked on a black velvet altar.
Oh, Ginger! Not in front of the vicar!
Oh, sorry, Mr. Calthrop.
Oh, don't apologise, my dear. Far worse things on the television.
I still want to know who they are. Miss Grey and who else?
Oh, there's a friend who lives with her, a Sybil Stamfordis. She acts as a medium, I believe. You must have seen her at the fete. She was telling fortunes. Lots of scarabs and bees. And sometimes she puts on a sari. I can't think why. She's never been to India.
Well, then there's Bella. She's their cook. She's also a witch, comes from Little Dunning. She had quite a reputation for witchcraft there, runs in the family. Her mother was a witch, too.
You sound as if you believe in witchcraft, Vicar.
Well, of course I do. It's all treated quite matter-of-factly. Children are told not to tease your cat, and people give you a cottage cheese or a pot of homemade marmalade from time to time.
The locals believe they're all 3 of them witches. Oh. I wouldn't like to offend none of those 3. That's what old Mrs. Cripp says.
It all sounds very exciting. I'd love to meet them.
Well, we'll take you over there tomorrow. The old house is really worth seeing.
I'll ring up Thurza in the morning. We can go on there after we've had lunch with Mr. Venables.
And who is this Mr. Venables?
He's really a most interesting man. He's been everywhere and done everything. Knows all sorts of strange things.
He had polio, poor soul, and is semi-crippled, so he has to go about in a wheelchair. It's very sad, because he was a great traveller, I believe. I'm sure you'll take to him, Mrs. Oliver.
I met you yesterday in your professional capacity, Mrs. Oliver. 6 of your books with signatures, ideal for birthdays and Christmas presents. I thought you stood up to it very well.
It's a strange feeling. I never quite get used to it, but it's the only chance I have to meet my readers face to face.
It was awfully good of you to come to the fete, Mr. Venables. After that generous cheque you sent us, I didn't expect you to turn up in person.
Oh, you couldn't keep me away. Part of English village life, isn't it? Mind you, this young lady nearly landed me with a live duck.
You did buy 5 tickets, Mr. Venables.
I even let Sybil tell my fortune. She did her best to think of something cheerful for me.
I don't know what she thought she was, dressed up in that tinsel turban. We're seeing her this afternoon. Mrs. Oliver wants to have a look at the Pale Horse.
Yes, I can't help wishing it had been left as an inn. I always feel that the place has had a mysterious and unusually wicked past history. Seems rather tame to have turned into a des res for 3 old maids.
3 old maids? Most of the locals are convinced they're up to their ears in witchcraft.
Yes, it's a strange thing, witchcraft. I've run into it all over the world. If you believe in it, the power it can hold over you is quite terrifying. Evil is very powerful, sometimes more powerful than good. I really can't go along with this modern playing down of evil as something that doesn't really exist. Do you believe in the devil, Mrs. Oliver?
I was brought up to believe in him, but Seems such a silly idea, you know, horns and a tail and all that.
Oh, the devil doesn't have to have horns and a tail. There is evil, real and tangible evil. And perhaps I am a little worried about the ladies at the Pale Horse. They may be playing with forces that are far stronger than they know. Well, that's quite enough of that. I believe you are an expert on the art of the Middle East, Mr. Easterbrook.
Well, obviously my reputation has got around.
There are some figures from Isfahan on which I would welcome your opinion.
You must be quite a wealthy man, your Mr. Venables. Those jades and the African sculpture say nothing of the mitre and bow. You're lucky to have such a neighbour.
How did he make his money, or has he always had it?
No one knows anything about him. He once told me that the reason he came to live in Much Deeping was because he knew no one here. It's a bit of a mystery.
That's the Pale Horse, there. Look, the building set back from the road.
Well, it looks harmless enough. Rather over-restored. Not nearly sinister enough.
Wait till you get inside.
The Pale Horse. Must be one of the oldest surviving inn signs in the country. Can't see much of it in this light.
Looks as if there's something else there.
You haven't forgotten, Miss Grey. You were going to let me clean it for you.
No, I haven't forgotten, but I'm still rather doubtful. I suppose you ruin it.
Oh, of course I shan't ruin it. It's my job. I work for the Manticore Gallery.
Well, I'm not sure that I entirely approve of modern picture restoration. I was appalled when I saw what they'd done to the Titians in the National Gallery. Looked as though they'd had a bath in the latest detergent.
You can't really prefer them all dark and mustard-coloured. A lot more would come up with a little cleaning. The horse may even have a rider. There is something else there.
Our dear, dear horse. We fell in love with the old sign the second we saw it. I really think it worked on us to buy the place.
Sybil, this is Mrs. Oliver and Mr. Easterbrook. Sybil Stamford.
Did you know that all horses were sacred in this country in ancient times, Mrs. Oliver?
To the goddess Epona. She was born from a wild mare, Rigatona Rhiannon.
And this is Bella. Tea's ready. Oh, come on through, won't you? Oh, this used to be the bar. We didn't think there was much point in trying to disguise it.
Oh, I think it's charming. What lovely chrysanthemums.
You got all you want, then?
Yes, thank you, Bella.
Then I'll leave you to it.
Bella is disconcerting, isn't she, Mr. Easterbrook? I noticed the way she looked at you.
Yes, she's certainly disconcerting.
I heard she got rid of both her husbands by turning the evil eye on them. He slowly sickened and pined away.
I'm sure you've heard, Mrs. Oliver, that we all practice witchcraft. We've got quite a reputation, you know.
Not undeserved, perhaps. Oh, do please help yourselves to tea. Perhaps you could pour ginger.
I'd love to. Tea, Mrs. Oliver?
Thank you. I was always attracted by the occult. Even as a child, I realised that I had occult powers. I fainted once when I was taken to tea in a friend's house. Oh, thank you, dear. I knew that something awful had happened. And then we got the explanation there had been a murder there, in that very room.
Quite remarkable. Two spoonfuls, please, Ginger.
Sinister things have happened in this house, too. But we have taken the necessary steps. The earthbound spirits have been freed.
A kind of spiritual spring cleaning.
I suppose you could put it like that.
What a remarkably striking sari that is you're wearing.
Oh, yes, I got it in India. Oh, it was a fascinating place. But I couldn't help feeling it was all too sophisticated. I am one of the few women who have ever visited...
You don't believe any of it, do you, Mr. Easterbrook?
Well, I...
You're wrong, you know. You can't explain everything away as superstition or fear or religious bigotry. There are elemental truths and elemental powers, there always have been.
I don't think I would dispute that.
Wise man.
Of course, everyone's heard of Baron.
Let's slip away. I want to show you my library.
You've got some astonishingly rare books here, Miss Grey. Is this an original, Malleus Maleficarum?
No, oh, hardly. If it was, I would have sold it. But it is 15th century, like this house.
Saducismus Triumphatus? A Grimoire of Honorius, a Grimorium Verum, Barrett's Magus.
Well, it's nice to meet someone who can appreciate one's books.
Well, there can't be much about the practice of witchcraft, sorcery and the rest of it that you don't know. What gave you an interest in it in the first place?
It's difficult to say. It's been so long. Just idle curiosity at first, and then I got hooked.
But do you really believe in it all?
Oh, I don't believe it. I know.
But how? In what way?
Why, if people come throughout the ages to the necromancer, the sorcerer, the witch doctor, there are only two things that are wanted badly enough to risk damnation. The love potion and the cup of poison. Love and death. The love potion to win the man you want, the black mass to keep your lover.
Like Madame de Montespan.
All the capitalistic circles and incantations are only window dressing. The truth is the aphrodisiac in the draught.
And death?
Death. You so interested in death?
Well, who isn't?
There's always been a greater trade in death than love potions. Borgias and their famous secret poisons. Do you know what they really used? Ordinary white arsenic, just the same as any little backstreet wife poisoner. But we've progressed a long way beyond that nowadays. There are new horizons. The mind, knowledge of what the mind is, what it can be made to do.
Oh, you mean the witch doctors and medicine man, but surely that won't work unless the victim believes in it.
Oh, we've gone much further than the witch doctors. The psychologists have shown the way. The desire for death, it's there in everyone. Work on that. Work on the death wish.
You mean you work on your subject to commit suicide?
Nothing as ordinary as that. You've heard of traumatic illness?
Of course.
And people who, because of an unconscious wish to avoid returning to work, for instance, develop real ailments. So in order to destroy your subject, power must be exerted on his secret unconscious self. The death wish that exists in all of us must be stimulated, heightened. Don't you see? A real illness will be induced by that death-seeking self.
But how do you propose to stimulate this death wish that we possess?
Well, that's my secret. There are communications without physical contact.
Can you do it?
You mustn't ask me to give all my secrets away.
Why have you told me all this?
And you recognize my books. One needs someone sensitive to it, to talk to someone. And besides...
Yes?
I had the idea, Bella has it too, that you might need us.
Need you?
Bella thinks you came here to find us. She's seldom wrong.
Why should I want to find you?
That I do not know. Yet.
What do they keep all those hens for?
They're not hens, they're cockerels. That's what Bella told me. They're useful to us, she said. That's all I could get out of her.
I don't like that woman. I don't like her at all.
Bella? Oh, I'm sure she's quite harmless, really.
No, I don't mean her. I mean Sybil. She seems just silly. All that stuff about voodoo and all those reincarnations she was going on about. Why is it that anyone who was a kitchen maid or an ugly old peasant never seems to get reincarnated? Always Egyptian princesses.
Perhaps the kitchen maids can't afford the fare.
Oh, and do you have a railway timetable back at the house, Colonel?
No.
I need to look up a train for the morning.
You can drive back with me.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Mark, but I'd rather take an early train. I've got a funeral tomorrow and I mustn't be late. Mary de la Fontaine was a very dear friend.
Of course, that's where I heard the name, de la Fontaine. You said something about visiting her in a nursing home.
Did I? Most quite likely.
What did she die of?
Toxic polyneuritis or something like that. All right, Mark. You've gone quite pale.
252.
Inspector Lejeune.
Speaking.
I don't know whether you remember me, Inspector. My name is Zachariah Osborne.
Ah, you're the chemist who reported seeing a man following Father Gorman.
That's right. Well, I've seen him again.
Where? When?
On Saturday, at a place called Much Deeping. I'm living down at Bournemouth now, and Much Deeping's about 20 miles away. There was a village fete, and I saw that Ariadne Oliver was going to be autographing her books. I'm a great admirer of her work.
What about the man?
Oh, I saw him quite distinctly. He must have met with an accident, because he was in a wheelchair. Oh, but there was no doubt about it. No doubt at all.
And did you manage to find out what his name was?
Yes, I did. I made some discreet inquiries, and it seems he is a local resident of the name of Venables.
Venables.
And he lives at Prior's Court, Much Deeping. They say he's a man of considerable means.
And you're certain it's the same man?
I'd take my oath on it.
More coffee, madame.
Thank you.
Sir?
Just a little.
Thank you, sir.
And this Delafontaine woman was on the list as well?
Yes. And what's more, I went over to the King's Arms and sneaked a look in the hotel register. And someone called Parkinson and someone called Sanford had stayed there during the past year. Now, both names were on Corrigan's list. And then I noticed the name of Martin Digby. Now, if that's the Martin Digby I know, he was Lady Heathcliff Dubois' nephew and probably came into her money.
And do you think that the names on the list are somehow connected with these middle-aged witch ladies at the Pale Horse?
Yes, I do. Do you remember Poppy, that girlfriend of David Ardingly?
Pale-faced girl with a silly voice.
Well, she talked about the Pale Horse having some connection with getting rid of people who weren't wanted.
Well, I got the impression she didn't know what she was talking about.
I went round to see her in the flower shop where she works, and she denied all knowledge of it. But she was scared stiff, Hermia. She was shaking like a leaf.
Mark, you're letting your imagination run riot.
I don't think I am. The menace is real. I'm worried about what's going to happen to the other names on that list. The whole thing is real.
I dare say your old pussies are quite genuine in believing it themselves. But it's all just fantasy. You can't believe in this sort of thing. You simply can't.
I want to get to the bottom of what's going on, Hermia.
Well, I think you should. It might be quite interesting. In fact, really rather fun.
I wanted to ask if you'd help me.
Oh.
Help me investigate.
Oh, I'd love to, Mark, but I just can't. Well, there's my article for the journal, and there's still that Byzantium thing.
Well, I understand you've got too much on your plate.
And supernatural hijinks in quaint old inns with dotty old ladies isn't quite my style. Why don't you try your friend Corrigan?
It's unutterable balderdash.
Isn't it just... But you believe there's something in it, don't you? Well, let me ask you a question first. This stuff about everyone having a secret urge or wish for death, is there any scientific truth in that?
I'm not a psychiatrist. Strictly between ourselves, I think half these blokes are slightly balmy themselves. You mind if I pour myself another dram?
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you.
So you don't believe in it?
What?
The power of the death wish.
Oh, I believe in it. But these chaps take it much too far. And as for some half-baked village spinster being able to induce it by remote control, it's just rubbish. You take my word for it.
Oh, I'll drop the subject. How are you getting on with that list of names?
The boys have been doing their best, but these things take time and a lot of routine work. Names without addresses and Christian names aren't easy to trace and identify.
I'd be willing to bet you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Within a fairly recent period, say a year to a year and a half, every one of those names has appeared on a death certificate. Am I right?
You are right, for what it's worth. But there's nothing fishy about any of the deaths. Pneumonia? Cerebral hemorrhage, tumour on the brain. Nothing in the least suspicious.
Ordinary illness leading to death, just as Thurza Gray claims.
Are you really suggesting that that woman can cause someone she's never seen, miles away, to catch pneumonia and die of it?
Well, I'm not suggesting it. She is. I'd like to think it's impossible, but there are certain facts that worry me. There's the casual mention of a pale horse in connection with the removal of unwanted persons. Now, Thurza Gray, who boasts of getting rid of people through induced traumatic illness, lives in a place called the Pale Horse in Much Deeping.
And it's just a minute. Where did you say?
Much Deeping.
Is it somewhere near Bournemouth?
It's about 15 miles away.
Suppose you didn't come across somebody called Venables down there?
Certainly I did.
What's he like?
Well, he's a most remarkable man, a really powerful personality, although he's completely crippled by polio.
What?
He had polio some years ago. He's paralysed from the waist down.
Thought it was too good to be true.
How do you mean?
Well, it's just that a chemist called Osborne saw a man following Father Gorman on the night he was killed. And he very positively identified that man as Venables. He saw him at some village fete.
Well, Venables was at the village fete, but he couldn't have been the man who was following Gorman.
He was so positive about it, according to Inspector Lejeune.
Well, I suppose it isn't possible, from the medical point of view, that the paralysis could be faked.
No, of course not. Limbs would be atrophied.
It's a pity, in a way. This organisation for getting rid of unwanted people really exists. Venables is just the kind of brain that I can see running it. All these people who died so tidily in their beds, were the people who profited by their death?
Someone always profits by a death, to a greater or lesser degree. Lady Hesketh Dubois left about £50,000. A niece and nephew inherit. Nephew lives in Canada, the niece in the north of England. Thomasina Tuckerton was a wealthy heiress. If she died unmarried before the age of 21, the money reverted to her stepmother, which it did. Mrs. Delafontaine left her money to a cousin in Kenya.
Curious how many of them are so far away.
There's the three possible Sanfords I've checked up on. One was an RC who wouldn't give his wife a divorce. The Harmansworth on the list could have been a blackmailer. And quite a few people would have liked to have seen out of the way.
So what you're saying is that all these deaths were convenient deaths?
Well, it looks like it.
Well, I've got to investigate this Pale Horse business. Will you help me?
Of course not. It's rubbish.
Even though your name's on the list?
I've told you, it's a common name. And don't think that your Witch of Endor is going to strike me down with a duodenal ulcer or Spanish flu. Sorry, Mark, but it's no go. In any case, my boss thinks I've spent too much time on the case already. So, back to pathology for me.
Well, don't worry. I've just thought of somebody who might help me.
Ariadne Oliver?
Ariadne, this is Mark Easterbrook.
Oh, Mark, look, this isn't a very convenient time to call. I've just realised that Major Crediton couldn't possibly have been at the scene of the crime, and he's got to be.
It won't take a second. Can you tell me the name of that girl who was staying at the house for the fete?
I expect so. Ginger, that was her name.
Well, I doubt if she was christened Ginger. What was her other name?
I've got it written down here somewhere, and her address and phone number.
Phone number? That's marvellous.
I'm glad you reminded me. I was going to send her one of my books. Such a bright girl. Yes, here we are. She lives in Gardner Mews, Calgary Place.
Yes.
And her number is Capricorn 35987.
87. And what's her name?
Corrigan.
What?
Catherine Corrigan. Is something the matter?
No, nothing. Thanks a lot, and good luck with the Major.
But it's quite terrifying. I must admit, I've always thought they were just three dotty old ladies, but it all sounds too close to be just coincidence. What are you going to do about it?
I'm not sure. I need to get inside it all somehow or other.
You seem to have one or two leads. Perhaps I can help.
But what about your work?
Oh, they're fairly easygoing at the gallery, and there's plenty I can do outside office hours. What about that Poppy girl? She obviously knows something.
Yes, but she got frightened and sheered off when I tried to ask her questions. She definitely wouldn't talk.
And that's where I can help. She'd tell me things she wouldn't tell you. Can you arrange for us to meet? Your friend and her and you and me, a show or dinner or something?
That shouldn't present much of a problem.
As for you, I believe your best bet would be the Thomasina Tuckerton angle. There seem to be two possibilities. The stepmother or the girl she had the fight with. Have you any idea what the girl's name was?
Not a clue, I'm afraid.
The wicked stepmother's probably the better bet, anyway. After all, she was the one who got the money. You'll have to tackle her. It's more up your street than mine.
I'd have to have some pretext for going to see her.
It shouldn't be too difficult for you. You're someone, you see. An art historian, and you've got letters after your name. Mrs. Tuckerton will probably be tickled to death to see you.
And the pretext?
Something about her house. Didn't you say it was by Nash or somebody like that?
Oh, but it isn't my period.
She's not going to know that. All you've got to do is get your foot in the door. Somehow or other you slip the Pale Horse into your conversation and see how she reacts. If she has any kind of a guilty conscience, she's bound to show some sign.
And if she does?
Then we'll know we're on the right track. Once we're sure, we can go full steam ahead. Do you think I could have another drink?
Of course. Do forgive me. Such a relief to have someone to talk to about this who doesn't think I'm off my head. Jules? Same again, please.
Yes, Mr. Easterbrook.
You mustn't get the idea that I'm a dipso or something. It's just that it's all rather exciting. There's something else that's occurred to me. Why do you think Thurza Gray told you all she did tell you? Why was she so forthcoming? Why you in particular?
I've no idea.
Look at it this way. This Poppy creature knows all about the Pale Horse, in a vague kind of a way. Probably she's heard some talk about it. She's worried because of what she let slip to you, and perhaps she tells somebody this. Anyway, they remember your name.
Go on.
The next thing is that you turn up at Much Deeping. You're brought to the Pale Horse, presumably you've asked to be taken there, and what happens? Thurza Grey goes into her sales talk.
One perno for Madame. One dry martini.
Ah, thank you, Jules. But I remember now. She said, I had the idea you may need us.
There you are, then.
Do you think she can do what she claims to do?
Personally, I'd be inclined to say of course she can't. But odd things can happen. I don't think it's true, but I'm terribly afraid it might be.
There must be some way of finding out whether we're imagining it all.
That's where Mrs. Tuckerton comes in. We need to prove a link between Father Corman's list and the pale horse.
Fancy your being interested in this house, Mr. Easterbrook. Of course, I knew it was built by John Nash. My husband told me so. But I never realised it would be interesting to a person like you.
It's a particularly unusual design for Nash. The internal layout is a complete breakaway from his usual practice.
Oh, I'm afraid I'm terribly stupid about that sort of thing. I know nothing about architecture. What I do know is that the house is far too big for me. I put it up for sale. It's lucky you called when you did. I'll take you round and then we'll have tea in the octagon room. I shan't miss it at all, I assure you. I want to travel. I hate this miserable climate and I want to get into the sunshine. I think I shall winter in Egypt. I never had the chance to do that while Tommy was alive, my late husband. He never wanted to go anywhere.
I imagine he had a good many business interests that kept him in the country.
That's right. And he was a very lonely man. I was much younger than he was, of course. He missed his first wife very much and didn't know what to do with his daughter. He doted on her, absolutely doted on her.
You know, I have an idea I may have met your daughter, stepdaughter, once. Was she called Thomasina?
Yes, she was. How odd.
Somewhere in Chelsea, I think.
Chelsea, yes, it would be. She used to hang around some very odd places. Her father had no control over her at all. She was even threatening to get married, some totally unsuitable person. It wasn't easy being her stepmother.
I'm sure it wasn't.
In a way, it was quite a relief when she insisted on leaving home. But she got in with the most undesirable set.
I rather gathered that.
Poor Thomasina. But perhaps you don't know. She died about a month ago. Encephalitis, very sudden. It's a disease that attacks young people, I believe. Very sad.
I did know that she was dead.